episode is sponsored by DoorDash. Summer spending creeping up on you? Between pool parties, patio dinners, and endless iced coffees, it all adds up pretty fast. But Summer of Dash Pass on DoorDash is here to save the day with deals so good, it's a little scary. Summer of Dash Pass is back from June 26th through July 30th, and it's packed with deals on everything you're already ordering. Local eats, groceries, stuff from your favorite stores, sunscreen, fruit trays, and aloe vera for those who crisp up in the sun, and more. Keep on saving with $0 delivery fees and reduced service fees on eligible orders. Order on DoorDash and save big during Summer of Dash Pass. Sign up today. Dash Pass benefits apply only to eligible orders. Terms apply. Check daily for massive summer savings on restaurants, groceries, and brands from June 26th through July 30th. Sign up for Dash Pass now if you aren't already a member and enjoy a summer full of savings. Dash Pass benefits apply only to eligible orders. Terms apply.
Direct from the Broski Nation headquarters in Los Angeles, California, this is the Broski Report with your host, Brittany Broski.
Guys, wake up! Wake up! Good morning! Put some eagle screeches over this. Good morning! Oh my God, it is good to be alive today, church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Y'all wake up. Y'all get up. Seriously, we've got so much to do today. It is brat summer. It is brat summer, okay? We have so many things to be thankful for today. Get up! I need to address a few elephants in the room, okay? There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on visually. There's a lot going on in my life. There's a lot coming up. There's a lot to discuss. First and foremost, do you like my blouse? Is anyone loving the color of my blouse and the fine quality and make and thickness and nice zipper? Listen, you are now looking at the prototype and finished product of the first ever, welcome to the stage, Brittany Broski Moo Moo Collection, dropping this week. Dropping this week. Guys, the muumuus are here and they are done. Three beautiful colors. We've got pink, lavender, and blue. Okay, check out this. I don't know if you can see it. My logo. Go ahead, zoom in on that. Broski, Broski. Founded 2020. Okay, you're also looking at custom slippers. Broski slippers, aka Mimi's slippers. That's what we ended up calling them because the whole reason that I wear muumuus is because of my Mimi. Okay? Guys, the muumuus, the slippers, they're done and they're waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you all year. It's so long in here.
That sorority girl video. The muumuus are done, guys. I've been working on these for almost a damn near year and a half because they had to be perfect and they had to be affordable because these muumuus, I have been filming in these since, I've had my muumuus since college, since I was probably 18 when my Mimi gave me hers. They're nightgowns, okay? What's a muumuu? It's a house coat. It's a nightgown. You wear it to sleep. You wear it when you're doing chores around the house. It's just something that you can be comfortable in. You can get it dirty. It's okay. You can sweat in it. There's these big utility pockets on the front. It's just great to lounge in, to have. You have to, you know, you don't have to wash it all the time. I mean, you should wash it, but you don't have to every day. I live in these, I breathe in these, and I finally have some of my own. And it's a quality that I wouldn't sell you guys something that I wouldn't personally wear. This isn't some cheapo, thin Walmart nightgown, you know, with a little pocket. This is a Broski muumuu with professional quality zippers, pockets, and lining. Okay, guys? They will be available, like I said, this week. Please go check them out. Go get you one if you won't. And as always, we still got Broski Report merch up if you want it as well. I'm so proud of these, and I'm so excited for y'all to get them. Because if you didn't grow up wearing muumuus or house coats, it's time to start. It's a very Southern thing. The slippers are so comfortable. I live in them. Do they smell like pickles? Yeah, because my feet smell like pickles. When they ship to you, their knuckles smell like pickles, okay? Mine already, they're soaked in vinegar because that's what my feet smell like. Gator feet, okay? So that's, get that out of the way. Now, some things to address physically. I have hair extensions hanging on by a literal thread. I am very, very bald under this beautiful, beautiful presentation that I give you guys. I am living life as a bald woman. Secondly, I have a really cool rash on my lip. Don't know what is causing it, but I've had it for about 2 weeks and I don't know how to make it go away. I have a feeling that I've spread it to all the chapsticks in my house. For some reason, I have a chapstick in every room, and at this point, I don't know what's keeping the rash on my face, and I don't know what's helping it. Because you can put Aquaphor on it, you can do all this. I don't know. And I thought it was just a dried chapped lip. It's getting redder and redder by the day. Are you guys afraid? Are you afraid? I'm not. I'm not afraid of my body. My body is a work of art. Oh, I'm sorry. Does my body disgust you during Pride Month? I'm not gay. Oh, I'm sorry. Does my body disgust you during a month that we're supposed to be proud? I'm a straight woman.
Okay, Pride Month is for straight pride too. Maybe I think we should add a letter onto LGBTQIA that is for straight people. Because I'm feeling a little left out. Okay, so can we not do allyship during Pride Month?
What was that TikTok of that girl who said, for queer-leaning allies? What did she say? What did she say? Do you know what I'm talking about? That TikTok was like, oh, girl, put the phone down. Hey, let's go ahead and put that phone down, mama. Lock it. Lock the iPhone. Hey, let's get you out into the sunlight.
For all the queer-leaning straight people who enjoy queer culture but are not queer themselves, let's get some W's in the chat.
Could you lock your iPhone for me? Go ahead and make yourself a nice water. Let's go put our toes in the grass. What are you talking about? Okay. Okay, guys, on top of what's physically wrong with me, I've got some crazy ingrowns going on my legs that itch and are like bright red to the point where they're turning purple. We'll get into that later. New addition to the sovereign V on the desk of the Broski Report. Okay, we've got my protectors as usual. It's me on the Iron Throne, which, of course, we're going to talk about House of the Dragon in a second because we're gonna do it! We've got me on the Iron Throne because that's where I belong. Night King, as always, banished to back here. Kylo Ren, Mandalorian, on my flanks. They're protecting me. Ghost from Call of Duty, Jack Skellington, sort of taking the front. Okay, I am... Now, in this position, I am a little bit exposed. If we were actually going into battle, I wouldn't be in this position. Also, my throne is stagnant, you know. This is sort of when you approach the throne room, this is how it looks. So, Ghost, Jack Skellington up front, of course. Now, of course, I've been intimate with all of these gentlemen. I have known the love of all of these gentlemen. What am I talking about? Like, what are you talking about? You've been intimate with Jack Skellington and Kylo Ren. Like, can you... Okay, like I was saying, they're all my lovers. They're all my lovers, and they protect me because of our soul bond, okay? Welcome to the stage, new edition from my editors. Guys, shout out the podcast editors. You guys think that Stanley edits this podcast. He does not. I have a whole separate team. Stanley has been thrown in the dungeon. Stanley, he's fine, okay? Like I said, I always have him. He's fed, he's watered, he's fine. He works on YouTube. And on Royal Court, the podcast, I have separate podcast editors. They sent me a little gift because I made a TikTok talking about how much I love miso soup, how much I just really enjoy a fish paste. They sent me this, it's a little miso soup, and it's got tofu on it with a little seaweed. Yeah, he sent me this. I said, that's it. He's got a smiley face. So now, as a treat for, of course, my lavas, the lavas, I've given them some miso soup to sort of munch and suck on. So welcome to the stage, my miso soup. Okay, let me go ahead. I'm just going to knock these off. Moo-moos, hair extension rotted, rash on my lip, introducing miso soup. What's next? Madison Beer. Guys, I went to the Madison Beer concert. She is, I'm so excited to announce that pop music is having its heyday in a big way. Pop music lulled for a second. Pop music, we were down for the count. Pop music enjoyers, we were, I think, being a little too forgiving, okay? We don't have to now. It is so back. Madison Beer, pop diva princess. Pop princess. puts on a beautiful show, crazy voice. She doesn't get her flowers enough for how crazy her voice is. Like, she's doing Ariana level vocals on stage, and people are like, they just don't talk about it. I don't know why. It's the weirdest thing to me. I'm like, why are there not compilations of Madison Beer hitting the, like, high B-flat or whatever that is, like the F4 or whatever? Like, it's there. She's doing it. Anyway, Madison Beer, incredible concert. I brought my sister, who is number one Madison Beer stan alive, and my mother. They're here visiting me right now. I banished them to the other side of the house. I was like, you can't look at me while I do this, bro. While I'm in my moo-moo, while I'm talking about Kylo Ren being my lover, you guys can't. I think on, like, a humiliation level, that's a sort of humiliation ritual. If I'm like, yeah, you guys come watch me do this. What? I can't. Now, will this be published for, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions to see? Yeah, that doesn't bother me. If you are in my house watching me do it, that's different. I can't do it. I clam up. I can't. I absolutely can't do it. So anyway, we went to go see Madison Beer. Incredible show. The next night, me and my mom went to go see Luke Combs. Incredible show. Because I am nothing if not versatile, and I am nothing if not a redneck at heart, okay? Luke Combs, we went to this concert. Of course, he sold out SoFi Stadium two nights in a row. Crazy. I always forget there are country music fans in Los Angeles. Something about SoCal, I don't know if it's like that wannabe cowboy thing or if there really are, like, I don't know. There's no ranch land out here. You guys are just, like, on the vineyards, like, Luke Combs and Luke Bryan, it just really gets me through the day. I don't really know that much about it. I live here and I don't know that much about it. Anyway, Luke Combs, it was a great show. We had a blast. Sunday morning, man, she woke up fighting mad. Really, really great show. He stood out there for, so like the show ended, everyone's leaving. He's on stage for probably like 15, 20 minutes just signing stuff. He's walking around like the stage where the floor seats are. And people are just gathered there, and he's just signing, like, cowboy hats, shoes, posters, car, whatever. And I was like, I've never seen that before. Apparently SZA does that, too, of, like, the concert's over. You're free to leave. But they're still on stage signing stuff. I was like, that is so beautiful. Wow. Lucas Combs. Anyway, so that we did that, both of those. And freaking Charlie XCX was last night at the Shrine. Oh, I'm so upset I missed it. Missed it. And apparently Rosalia was there and she brought out Addison Rae on stage. Where was I, bro? I'm so upset. I'll see her eventually. I'm going to see her later this year, I think. Okay. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Madison has this song called Writer. Okay, it's the name of her brother. She loves her brother very dearly. This song, while she's singing it, like she sat on stage with, you know, two guys playing guitar, and it's just a very emotional, beautiful, vulnerable, raw emotion moment. And I'm sat there, or standing, I'm standing there watching with my sister and my mom, and they're playing all these compilations of like Madison and Ryder as kids. And the whole premise of the song is like, we were just two kids caught in the crossfire. And like, I wish I would have been there for you more. I wish I would have been kinder to you. And I'm just so sorry because I love you so much. And like, I all this wasted time, I'm so, you know, and it's just like a gut-wrenching emotional song. Playing this compilation, I have chills on my body, actually, if you can see that. I just got chills everywhere. And my sister stayed next to me. I'm going to cry, baby. I love my sister. She stayed next to me, and I'm like, oh, no. One day you're all I'm going to have. Yeah. Oh, I love my sister, and I love my brother. And my mom's there. Yeah. Oh, it was so emotional. We were sobbing, crying, like tears streaming, could not stop. And then I hugged my sister, and I hugged my mom. We were all huddling. It was a really cute moment. Also, at a Madison Beer concert or any concert like that, where it's just like, it's majority women. Oh, it was the pretty girl convention. I went to the pretty girl convention and you were not invited. I went to the pretty girl convention and you got denied access, bro. They did not let me in at the door. They said I didn't have the right credentials at the door. Please, can you text your manager to let us in, bro? Please. I had a ticket, but they took it. No, it literally was the pretty girl convention. Like, everyone had bows in their hair and they're dressed so pretty. And I was just like, I love being a girl. And I brought my sister and my mom. It was just so much fun. And it was just so kind of healing of dancing to the really upbeat songs. And then, of course, sobbing, crying. It was great. It was so, so, so great. And it was the last stop of her tour. She sold out the Greek. Like, what a crazy. So proud. I have chills. Okay. I love Madison Beer. Okay. For the long-awaited Taba Squishy review. Okay? Everyone listen to me. These were shipped to me maybe a week and a half ago. I got these right after. Oh my God, we have to talk about the House of the Dragon premiere too, because I guess I'm engaged. I guess I'm an engaged woman. The Taba Squishies. Okay, guys, I spent $90, as you all know. Oh, crap. The other one's in my room. Should I go get it? I'll go get it. I'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by Blissey. Set yourself up for better sleep with Blissey's award-winning 100% mulberry silk pillowcases. These pillowcases have saved me from having a rat's nest in the morning when I wake up because I thrash around when I sleep. I literally travel with them to hotels. They're so good. Silk is what is best for your hair and skin. It reduces frizz, tangles, and prevents breakage. That's because it keeps the moisture in your hair and the skincare on your skin instead of cotton absorbing it. It's time to wake up with healthier and shinier hair. There's a lot of dupes out there that claim satin can be an alternative to silk, but that's just not the case. Satin is made from synthetic fibers like polyester, while silk is a luxurious all-natural fiber. Silk is more breathable, moisture-wicking, and gentle. It's also more durable and long-lasting. Think of it as an investment in getting better sleep and waking up feeling ready to take on the day. Blissey pillowcases are made of 100% mulberry silk, which is naturally hypoallergenic, so you can sleep more comfortably without itching or rashes. And unlike other silk pillowcases, these are of the highest quality silk and are machine washable and durable. Like I said, these pillowcases have saved me from having a rat's nest when I wake up in the morning. Everyone loves them. You love them. I love them. They have a ton of different prints and colors, and they make great gifts because there's an option for literally anyone. Hey, men love them too. They have over 1 million raving fans, and you could be next. Try now risk-free for 60 nights at blissey.com/broski and get an additional 30% off. That's blissy.com/broski and use code broski to get an additional 30% off. Your skin and hair will thank you. This episode is sponsored by Stitch Fix. It is time to transform your wardrobe for the summer and fall. My Stitch Fix stylist helps take my wardrobe to the next level. She knows what works for me, sometimes even better than I do myself. She helps me discover new things about my style. It's like my stylish best friend is shopping for me, seriously. You know that confidence boost when you get to put on a really amazing outfit? That's what I get from Stitch Fix. When I look good, I feel good, and it shows. I just give my stylist my size, style, and budget preferences. I order boxes when I want and how I want, no subscription required, and she sends 5 just-for-me pieces, plus outfit recommendations and pro styling tips. I keep what I love and send back the rest. It's that easy. My stylist sends personalized pieces, and the fit is amazing. It's like she reads my mind. I'm super into like European girl summer vibe right now. No graphic tees. That's how they know you're American. My stylist found me some adorable skirts that I can pair with some like basic tops. Stitch Fix makes it all so easy. I get outfits that make me look and feel really good, and I don't have to shop. If you don't love something, just send it back. Shipping, returns, and exchanges are always free. Style that makes you feel as you look. Now is the best time to get started at stitchfix.com/broski and get $100 off. That's $25 off your first 4 fixes for a limited time only. That's stitchfix.com/broski for $100 off. stitchfix.com/broski. You must redeem within 7 days of sign up. Offer does not include kids fixes. Okay, sorry about that. I was playing with this last night, so it was not on my radar. Okay, here is my haul and my review, guys. I spent $90 on this, and part of that, of course, was shipping. I don't know where they ship from. Again, if you aren't caught up on the last week's episode, Taba Squishies are my new hyperfixation. They're just basically like a STEM toy. 27, by the way. I am 27 years old. Like fully a tax-paying adult. They're my new favorite STEM toy, and I found them on TikTok, and I'm pretty sure it's a child that runs this account, and then the mom, I think the mom helps with the business, like, side of it, like getting the orders shipped out and whatever. So I found this account, and it really is just like the most high quality. It's called Mooncat, okay? And she'll go live and she'll test them. And she'll be like, guys, link in my bio. And I went ahead and followed the link in the bio, purchased 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5. And then I got a free gift. Really just gorgeous work, gorgeous handiwork. I'm going to try to give you guys a review where you can see it. Okay, let's start first and foremost with my favorite one. This is the one that I'm really going to every single time. Let me get it prepped for y'all. This is my waffle. This is my waffle. It's just a waffle with like what looks like an ice cream scoop on it. And it's got some little sprinkles on it. Okay, now this texture really actually pisses me off. Because of course, what, you think I'm not going to touch it? They're like, don't take it out of the plastic. Immediately I took it out of the plastic. And I regretted it because I'm stupid. Look at this texture. When I put my finger in it, oh, I hate that, dude. Look, your finger like comes with it. Can you see that? I need to suck on it immediately. Okay, here is the review. So you sort of, I don't know, this is it. You just squish it. Like, and I guess that's it. I literally travel with this now. And I don't know what that says about me. If you see me at the airport and you see me going ham on this, that means I'm stressed out. That means don't talk to me. I'm stressed out. Okay, so this is the waffle. I would say this is probably my favorite one. This is the one that I really gravitate towards. I think it's the most visually pleasing. I love something that looks like real food. So again, this is my, can you see, is it focusing? This is my waffle with ice cream. I rate this a 9 out of 10, seriously. I only wish that I could eat it. Okay, next up in the line, I got a pink donut with what looks like cum on it. I got a pink cummy donut. That's this one. Pink cummy donut with some blood clots and some, I don't know, like banana cream on it. There's sprinkles on it. And of course, what does this say on the front? Small happiness delicious. And I have always said that, and that is so true to me. It's one of the true small truths in my life. Small happiness delicious. What does that mean? I don't know. And then on the bottom it says, believe. Believe is sink into. Believe, sink into. Oh, believe, sink into, small happiness delicious. Maybe that is what it is. And there's this fun little charm on it. Guys, you can put it on your carry-ons. You can put it to go. You can, I don't know, hang it over your bed like a baby cradle and play with it like a cat toy. There's so many things that you could do with these Tapa squishies. I can't tell you enough how excited I am. So this one, small happiness delicious, okay? This is not as visually pleasing to me because I'll be quite honest, I don't really know what's going on. It looks like there's pimples on it, but there's also like sprinkles. This one is fun to play with because there's more texture to it. She added these little sprinkles that are, it's like hard and I need to bite into it real bad. This one I have not taken out of the package because there's kind of loose things on it. This one I'll give an 8 out of 10 because of this sort of, if you can hear that. Okay, that sort of element is fun to play with me, but I do get annoyed after a while. 8 out of 10. Again, with waffle coming in first. This one was a free gift with purchase because I spent like $1,020 at this place. I got a free gift. This is just one of those little, you know, schmegma-looking cat paws that they're like, don't take it out of the package. Let's take it out of the package. Free gift with purchase. All you have to do is spend $90. Let's get this shit out of here, bro. Okay, here's the Tapa squishy on my hand. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I need to lick it. Because, like, what is that? Like, what are you talking about? There's no smell to it. I smell the bag. That's what I'm smelling. But, like, that is about to piss me off. I don't know what it is. Do you hear it? I don't know what it is. And the more that I touch it, the more dirty it gets because I guess I just always have feces on my hands. I don't know. And I'm not really a big cat person, so the cat paw doesn't really mean much to me. But I have sat here and done this, and I'm like, I guess I get it. I guess I understand. Okay, so this one, I don't know. I don't really like the transparent see-through ones. It's kind of – also, it's not see-through anymore because I've been touching it so much. I give this one a 4 out of 10. It feels like a booger to me. It feels like schmegma ever since someone said that on the thing of like, it's not schmegma. Stop saying that. Why are we even talking about it? What do you mean your toy looks like discharge? I think you need to be jailed. Yeah, this was a 4 out of 10. I appreciate the thought of like free gift with purchase. Like, thank you. She really saw my order and was like, $90? Yeah, I'll throw something extra in there. She's keeping the business afloat. And you know what? After all this, because we're going to get to the big one in a second. After all this, I feel like it needs to be said that I would purchase again. I feel like I need more. I feel like I need a collection now. And every time I bring a suitor over, a young gentleman, ew, no shit all over it. I shouldn't have taken it out. Every time I bring a young suitor over, a young gentleman, or, oh, y'all, I had a horrible experience recently with a young gentleman. Left me crying and in tears. And I blocked him, and I'm never talking to him again. Two guys, actually. I blocked two guys. Because I'm at the point in my life where I've always been like, what do you mean you blocked someone? Like, I've never blocked someone in my life. It's never been that serious. And now I'm like, this drop of a hat, I'm like, I'll block you. I don't give a fuck. I really don't care. Like, if you look at me funny, I'll block you. I don't, like, I just don't have the time for it. I don't have the patience. Like, it is a privilege to get to talk to me and share my company. And if you don't value that, you don't get it. You don't get access. It is a privilege to talk to me. And I don't just mean that because, like, I mean, like, anyone should have the self-worth to be like, it is a privilege for me to choose to share my time with you. And if you don't value it the same way that I value it, you're gone. So that's what I had to kind of do this past weekend of, like, you just don't actually give a shit about me as a person. You don't value my time. You don't, like, it's done. It's done. You're never going to hear from me again. And you've lost access to me. Hope it was worth it. So, moving on. I did go ahead and get weird hairs, and there's something chunky in it now. And I have to take full credit for that because I did take it out. And I think that speaks more to the filth that lives on my hands. If you did like a little swipe and put whatever was on my hands in a petri dish, it would grow. Yeah, it would grow. You could make a colony. Okay, before we get to the big girl, I'm just going to give a warning. This one jingles. Okay, so it might be a little annoying. If you have a cat, maybe turn the volume down. This is a little cupcake. It's a little cupcake. It's really tiny. And it's got sprinkles on it. 27. This is a keychain, which I do believe is very smart. This one has sprinkles, which I like because, like I said, it gives it texture. It gives you something to play with. And I honestly, it is a feat of engineering to me how they do this because the cupcake wrapper is one color. And then obviously the little icing is a different. And then the little sprinkles. And I got two, of course. One is circular sprinkles and the other is a purple cupcake with, you guys don't care, with rectangle sprinkles. I got so damn annoyed with this little bell, I had to take it off. I threw it away. On the other one, I was like, I'm so sick of it. I'm annoying myself. Like, I'm trying to just play with my Squinch and the bell keeps going off, okay? This one's cute. I give this one an 8 out of 10 as well. Nothing is kind of comparing to the waffle for me so far because this one is really gorgeous. I like the food-looking ones. And the other ones just kind of fall short to me because I need to believe the appeal to me with this is that it's edible and that I want to suck on it. And if there's no appeal to that with anything in life, if I can't suck on it, I don't really want to deal with it. So that is my cupcake, Jingle Bell. And she did go ahead and give me an additional keychain, an extra keychain. What is this character's name? It's a Sanrio character, I think. He's the little yellow Zorg, the yellow Zorg with a brown little hat. Who is the yellow dog from Hello Kitty? Yellow. Who is bro? Pom-pom-perine. Pom-pom-perine, pom-pom-perine, chim-chim-chiroo. That was a Mary Poppins joke. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim, right? Chim-chiminy. Chim-chim-chiree, chim-chim-chiree, chim-chim-chiroo. How do I remember that? A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-chiree. Wow. That was a deep cut. Chim Chim Chiru. Good luck will rub off when he shakes hands with you. Who is the yellow dog from Hello Kitty? Can you, like, like lock in? Guys, it's so hard to have a conversation with you because you insist on Googling things that are really just not relevant or not important to what we're discussing. And what we're discussing is the yellow dog from Hello Kitty. Pum pum, pum pumperine, pum pumperine, pum pumperine. Sanrio. Rock in Sanrio. Pum Pumperine is a golden retriever character from Sanrio who is sometimes described as yellow and is often depicted wearing a brown beret. He's French. Oh my God, he's a protester. He's a riot. He's a riot. He organizes and unionizes. What is Pum, Pum, Pumperine, Pum, Pum, Pumperine lore? Hello Kitty Wiki. Here we go. This episode is sponsored by DoorDash. Summer spending creeping up on you between pool parties, patio dinners, and endless iced coffees. It all adds up pretty fast. But Summer of Dash Pass on DoorDash is here to save the day with deals so good, it's a little scary. Summer of Dash Pass is back from June 26th through July 30th, and it's packed with deals on everything you're already ordering. Local eats, groceries, stuff from your favorite stores, sunscreen, fruit trays, and aloe vera for those who crisp up in the sun, and more. Keep on saving with $0 delivery fees and reduced service fees on eligible orders. Order on DoorDash and save big during Summer of Dash Pass. Sign up today. Dash Pass benefits apply only to eligible orders. Terms apply. Check daily for massive summer savings on restaurants, groceries, and brands from June 26th through July 30th. Sign up for Dash Pass now if you aren't already a member and enjoy a summer full of savings. Dash Pass benefits apply only to eligible orders. Terms apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations. I'm going to hold him while I read this. Pamu Pamu Perine is a good-natured golden retriever dog character introduced by the Japanese company Sanrio in 96. He was born on a sunny day in April 16th. This is what I want to know, dude. Yes, lock it. Perine was born on a sunny day on April 16th. Pum Pum Perine lives in his own basket in the entrance hall of his sister owner's house. Sister owner's house. His trademark is his brown beret that is always on top of his head. That is so true. Look, he's literally wearing it here. Pom Pom Perine's favorite food is his mama's pudding. Oh my God, he loves his mom. Pom Pom Perine's interest is collecting shoes, which includes his owner father's leather shoes. Oh, owner father's, not his like biological, because that would be a dog, of course. One of his owner mother's sandals, he likes to hide them. One thing about Perine is he is really, really just like a trickster. He's really mischievous, but he's chill if you know him. He's really chill if you know him. He loves drinking milk and eating cream caramel pudding that his mother makes. Is that what he's got right here? Oh, no, he's just in a vest right here. Can you take this off? Do I need a Pom Pom Perine little figurine that I can dress and feed pudding? He also spends a lot of time sleeping during Purin aerobics and hanging out with his best friends. He's a laid-back dog who loves soft stuff and easily makes friends. That is low-key me. That is low-key a vibe. like, shut up. He's a laid-back dog who loves soft stuff and easily makes friends. Okay, why is that low-key, high-key, like, me and my friends? Like, totally, I could see myself, like, doing this. Okay, Perine seems like a hang. Honestly, can he come? Yeah, he can come, like, no plus ones. Like, he sounds chill, but I don't know him. I've never met him. Like, it's my house. You know, I don't really... We need to suss the vibe. STV. Suss the vibe before he comes over, because that's your homie, bro, and I'm sure he's nice, but I don't know him. And I just don't really rock like that. So before you bring her, can you ask Kitty if you can bring Perine over? I mean, I guess like it's Kitty's house. It's not my house, but like I'll text her. He's a laid back dog who loves soft stuff and easily making friends. Okay, we got that. We established that. He dreams of being even bigger. He perks up when he hears his owners say, let's go out. And he'd rather not hear, stay. He is such a dog. Pom Pom Perrine's best friends include a hamster called Muffin. I have got to see Muffin. Show me Muffin. Muffin. Oh, that's Muffin. House of the Dragon ad, period. Muffin. Oh, I'm rocking with Muffin. He's a brown and white hamster. He enjoys hiding in Pom Pom Perrine's beret. Oh my God, there's lore here. Wait, there's like seriously lore. You have to know these things about the characters to keep up. You have to know that Muffin likes to hide in his beret because what if, you know, something happens and we're looking for Muffin and like, you know, he's on suicide watch or he's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going on with their mental state. And like, he's just hiding in his beret. You know, you need to know to look there. Like, you need to really know if we're doing a wellness check where he might be, like, where are his usual haunts? Where is he finding refuge? And that's actually going to be in Perrine's beret. A mouse named Scone. I'd like to see Scone. And a bird named Custard. Scone. Oh, I don't like Scone. Scone's annoying. Let's see the bird named Custard. I think I'll like Custard. Yeah, Custard's real, real cute. Oh, I love Custard.
Look, he's so tiny. Look. He's really tiny. Damn it. I love Custard.
What is his name? Custard. Okay. He secretly likes it when the wind blows his beret off so he can retrieve it. Oh my God, he's insane. He's insane. Macaroon and Pom Pom Perrine are very close. Hello Kitty says that he seems to have a thing for her. Who the hell is Macaroon? Macaroon, Pom Pom Perrine. Oh, I bet there's fan fiction. Oh, she is just adorable. Look, she put him in drag. Oh, their relationship's really beautiful. Look, she loves makeup. Fun fact, Macaroon is actually Pom Pom Perrine's girlfriend. When did that happen? I didn't know they were official. Oh, that's just adorable. Even though I will say, they don't look like dogs. Like, that doesn't look like a dog. Okay, so who is the little freak-ass frog and who is the little freak-ass bunny? Is that a chipmunk or a squirrel? I don't like the mouse.
They're really sweet. Look, they're eating pizza.
Okay, I get it. I've always wondered, what are the Sanrio girls doing? I get it. I'm with you guys, and I'm sorry for judging. Okay, back to, I need to put pom pom perrine on my little cupcake. Okay, now to what everyone's been waiting for. I told you on the last episode that I bought the big girl. I bought the big girl. Like, no joking around. I need to stim on my stim toy right now. Who up stimming on their stim toy? Guys, here it is. It's not as big as I wanted. I thought it was going to be enough to, like, hold in two hands. It's just to hold in one hand. And I put this in my bag, and the fucking flocking powder got everywhere. It got everywhere, which I am livid about. Because that was my one thing of, like, okay, this one looks annoying. Like, I don't know. Look, it's even all over the bag. Like, don't piss me off. Like, what is the purpose of putting that on here? Like, it really pissed me off. It opened and, like, fell in my new House of the Dragon bag. I was pissed off. I had to wash it. Okay. This is my giant cat paw that she did include. She put some crazy little silly little characters in here. She put a Hello Kitty fork, which is so cute. And then a Kirby. Where's my Kirby? Can you see my Kirby? There's my tiny little Kirby. This one is fun to squinch, but the Waka Flocka powder just really stresses me out. I'm not a fan. It feels like human hair that I'm like, how'd that get in there? It's fun to squinch, but it doesn't, it goes back to its shape way faster than the waffle. See, like when you squish the waffle, you got to give it time to go back to how it was. I'm giving you guys an in-depth review because this is what you wanted. This one, the colors are very beautiful. It's very pastel Easter. It's got a little fork, you know, that you can stab, which I do enjoy doing that. yeah, this one, maybe I should give it more of a chance because these little, I don't know, the way it jiggles pisses me off too. I would not buy this one again. I do not like the flocking powder, but if you guys are into the flocking powder, do it because it's your life and it's your money. And, you know, if you want to give $90 to Mooncat, you're not gonna like the haul every time, and that's okay. I give this one a 6 out of 10 because I do enjoy the weight. I enjoy the colors. I enjoy the Kirby. It gets deducted some for flocking powder because I keep imagining it being attached to my tonsil and it freaks me out. Like if this was on my tonsil, I couldn't breathe and then I would die. So that's my Squitch review. This is, I need to actually take this out and stomp on it. I think that would be very healing for me. Okay, so that was the top of Squishy review. I give, all in all, I'll give on a mean, the average, an 8. Okay, we had some high ranking ones, we had some low ranking ones, an 8. I would give my experience with Mooncat Top of Squishy an 8. Thank you guys so much. This episode is sponsored by Rocket Money. Question: how much do y'all think you're paying in subscriptions every month? The answer is probably more than you think. Over 74% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. I apparently love to buy subscriptions to apps that I use once and then never open again. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. All you got to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/broskireport. That's rocketmoney.com/broskireport. rocketmoney.com/broskireport. Okay. What did I want to say next? Oh, we were going to look up the FNAF lore. Finally, dude. Let's get into the FNAF lore. Five Nights at Freddy's. So, guys, lock in because I know some of you know this, but some of you are going to be like, what are you talking about? I did not grow up playing this game. I've played it on YouTube. It scared the living shit out of me. I don't enjoy being scared. I think that it's fun when you're with your friends, but this sort of shit where it's like you're playing it over and over and over and it's just jump scares. Why? I don't get it. Like, what possible joy could you get out of it? The last time I played it, if you haven't seen that YouTube video, go watch it. Literally started crying. Like, I started crying because I was so frustrated and annoyed and scared. Like, the fact that I kept getting scared. And guess what? I'm tucking my move up under my boobs. Don't care. You guys don't have to see it. You guys don't have to see it. That's what part of this is for. It absorbs sweat and it does it very well. Oh, Five Nights at Freddy's full set, $4,000 on eBay. Like, what is wrong with y'all? The movie that came out, which, by the way, why did you make a Five Nights at Freddy's movie? And why is Josh Hutcherson in it? Why did you put PETA in it? Why is PETA Mellark in Five Nights at Freddy's? I thought he escaped. He made a good life for himself. A troubled security guard begins working at Freddy Fazbear's pizzeria. While spending his first night on the job, he realizes the late shift at Freddy's won't be so easy to make it through. Maybe I want to see it, actually. It was a Universal Pictures movie. Josh Hutcherson, Liam Hemsworth, Katniss Everdeen. What is this cast? Hunger Games? Five Nights at Freddy's lore. All right, let's get into it. Should we go on Reddit or should we go on Game Rant? I feel like we need to go on Reddit. Can someone explain the whole FNAF lore? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Here we go. Oh, this is so long. Okay. William Afton and Henry Emily opened a restaurant around the early 70s named Fred Bear's Family Diner, which quickly evolved into a chain of restaurants known as Freddy Fazbear's Pizza, started in 1983. under the company of Fazbear Entertainment, Inc. At some point, both of them left the company, with an unknown individual taking over as CEO. Okay, well, that's like, let's pause there. What do you mean an unknown individual taking over as CEO? It was Elon Musk. Okay, so when Elon Musk bought 51% shares of Fazbear's Pizza, that was when, okay, and then they went full electric, and then, oh, okay. And then they shot Freddy Fazbear out into space. Oh, when Freddy Fazbear got the Neuralink, that was, okay, I'm here. William, of William Afton, who was one of the owners, William was secretly a serial killer. Okay, pause. What? William was secretly a serial killer using mascot costumes to lure, abduct, and murder kids? His motives aren't known, though widely speculated to be him trying to achieve immortality through researching the paranormal haunted metal known as Remnant, which he created through the murders. What, bro? Okay, you lost me. Let's move on. His first target was Charlotte Emily, the daughter of Henry. Oh, it was two dudes. William Afton and Henry Emily. I don't know why I figured it was a husband and a wife. Okay, gay. First of all, happy pride. His first target was Charlotte Emily, the daughter of Henry. She became the marionette, a ghost who took care of and helped awaken the other lost souls. What are we talking about? In 1983, William's younger son also died in an incident at the fault of his eldest, Michael. The younger son, name unknown, BV for short, his fate is still unknown, though often speculated to be connected to either Golden Freddy or helping Charlie with saving other souls. I will put you back together was the last thing said to BV by a debatable party, most commonly believed to be either William, Charlie, or Golden Freddy. I'm lost. Let's keep going. In 1985, William killed two kids, and three others were later connected to that incident, the Missing Children Incident, or MCI. He was arrested but released due to lack of evidence. Four of these kids were Gabriel, Susie, little Jeremy, and Fritz, going on to haunt Freddy, Bonnie, Chica, and Foxy, respectively, with Susie implied to have been the first to die. This is so dark. What the fuck are y'all playing on God's internet? What is this? The fifth is commonly believed to be named Cassidy, becoming Golden Freddy, though some think it's someone else. In 1987, William pretended to be a security guard at a new pizzeria and killed five more kids. He was the security guard? Yo, that's why he's like, wait. Okay, so he was like naming the tapes being like, hey, I am pizzeria. Sometimes things get a little crazy. It's because he's stabbing children. What are you talking about? We need a TV adaptation of this, and we need Pedro Pascal in it now. In 1987, William pretended to be a security guard at a new pizzeria and killed five more kids. DCI for short. Oh, what was that? DCI stands for Dead Kid Incident, who went on to be the toy animatronics. This caused the unimportant Bite of 87. In 1990, which they talk about in the game, the Bite of 87, which like, what? In 1993, Mike, who the fuck is Mike? The son? William's oldest son, Michael Afton. In 1993, Mike worked a shift at the haunted original Freddy's. Later that year, the location was closed and the company went bankrupt. He later had some sort of nightmares about it and his brother's death. Death, likely paranormal in nature. At some point, William went to that original Freddy's to destroy the four haunted robots, but ghosts manifested, and fearing for his life, he put on the costume he used to kill them. It was actually a part costume, part robot hybrid, though, and due to the leaking roof, the machine snapped on him, killing him. He went on to haunt it and his corpse inside. I'm confused on the science of this story being immediate death to ghost pipeline. I'd like to see a bit more, I don't know, scientific realism. The body decomposing, okay? Maybe the ghosts or small children eating on the flesh of whatever. I'm not understanding how you die, you get trapped in the suit because there was a leak in the roof and it rusted the suit and now you're a ghost immediately. You have to die first. Well, I guess he did. Moving on. While Freddy's existed, a sister location called Circus Baby's Pizza World opened. It was a front for William to kill more kids. I thought William just got trapped in the suit with the robots there made to kidnap them. It backfired when his daughter snuck in to see Baby and it killed her. She then haunted it. William, distraught, locked her and the other robots from there in an underground warehouse where they were rented out for parties. The other, he's like, still got to get this bread. All right, killed my daughter. My son's a murderer. This happened. I'm actually a ghost. We got to get this bread, guys. The mortgage is due. Like, we got to fix this leak in the roof. Seriously, we need to lock in. The janitor staff quit. The other robots also got haunted somehow, likely with melted down remnant from some other kids. Now, remnant is the metal, right? It's like vibranium. It's like vibranium from the Avengers. Got it. Years later, William sent Mike there to find Elizabeth. Thinking he was William, she tricked him, and the Funtime robots combined into one amalgam of wires, killed Mike, and used his corpse as a skin suit to escape. He quickly rotted, and they had to escape to the sewers. He repossessed his corpse thanks to remnant of the... I don't really understand. I don't even think rereading that would help me understand. Used his corpse as a skin suit to escape. What, their souls? Okay, they're doing soul play. Like foreplay, but soul play. He quickly rotted, and they had to escape to the sewers. He repossessed his corpse thanks to remnant, though. I don't know, understand how that works, by the way. Around 30 years after his death, presumably 2023, though that may be debunked now, William was found by Phone Dude, who stole him and put him into his cheap horror attraction based on the Freddy's urban legends. Not knowing, William was inside the robot. Now, is this William's spirit? After a few nights, the building burned down and William escaped. There's also a good ending in that game where Charlie released the other spirits, but its canonicity is complicated, according to Scott, the FNAF creator. Mike also had a security logbook at some point where two ghosts, BV and presumably Cassidy, talked about something. Finally, after like 50 years, Henry reemerged and made a fake pizzeria where he called the Funtime robots, now separated from Elizabeth herself. Okay, here we go. After 50 years, Henry reemerged and made a fake pizzeria. Henry burned them all and himself, with high temperatures now revealed to work on ghosts, apparently. Fazbear Entertainment was supposedly closed for good. But one ghost, very highly implied to be Golden Freddy, wasn't ready to let William go. So he kept him from being released and tortured him in super nightmares. Oh, there's a book about this. After all this, Fazbear Entertainment was revived as Fazbear Entertainment LLC. They kidnapped a guy and gaslit him into living in a secluded fake house they made for him, where he made FNAF games in the FNAF universe as to make it seem like it was all just fake stories. Okay, then this sort of devolves into some, like, AI hijacking glitch trap. You guys lost me. You guys lost me. This is so complicated. Oh, you should watch a YouTube video. Long answer, I suggest you watch Undeniably Canon FNAF Timeline on YouTube because it includes all the things we know for sure without any theories or speculation. Yeah, fuck this Reddit shit of like, okay, here's what we think, but we don't really know. Okay, let's go on Game Rant because now I'm invested. Absolutely, fuck that, by the way. I really, really, really don't like the teeth. I don't understand the teeth. I don't understand how we got there from the cute little like, I'm a Fazbear, I'm Freddy, I'm Chica. Why do they have teeth and why are they like, okay. The pizzeria, okay, this is from Game Rant. The pizzeria itself is in a state of disrepair thanks to a series of tragedies associated with it, namely the kidnapping and likely murder of five children by a man named William Afton. It is rumored that the victims' bodies had been stuffed inside the mini animatronic mascots of the pizzeria named Freddy, Bonnie, Chica, and Foxy, which had led to a widespread boycott of the business and directly led to its demise. Me, when an owner of a business kills and murders, like, kidnaps and murders five children and we boycott them? Hey, what? Go to jail! You need to be shot! What are you talking about? With the protagonist monitoring the animatronics at night through the use of security cameras, it quickly became apparent that these rumors are true. With the mascots moving freely throughout the facility, edging closer and closer to the player's location with malicious intent. The player can only survive the lengthy period in the facility by managing the power supply of doors and lights, ensuring that none of the possessed animatronics can get close enough to inflict a mortal wound. The original animatronics from the first game are kept in the restaurant initially as backup suits, but once again roam the facility at night along with their newer counterparts. FNAF 2 goes into more detail about the aforementioned murder of five children that was explored within the first game. The perpetrator of these crimes is depicted as a sinister and gaunt purple figure, earning him the moniker of Purple Guy for most of the franchise's story. Following the murderous intent displayed by newly introduced animatronics in the title, the game ends with them being decommissioned in favor of the classic characters that dominate the first game. Okay, okay, okay. Oh, I hate that. I hate that. I hate that. I hate that. I hate the freaking glowing eyes, bro. The third mainline installment to the FNAF franchise gave fans a huge acceleration to the series' lore and story, taking place 30 years after the events of the original game. So we're assuming that this was in the 80s, early 90s, okay? This game is set within a new establishment called Fazbear's Fright, a horror attraction attempting to capitalize on the sinister urban legends surrounding the restaurant chain. Once again, the player assumes the role of a night shift security worker at the location, with deadly paranormal encounters saturating the core gameplay of the title. The key lore from FNAF 3 stems from the introduction of a brand new animatronic known as Springtrap. What? This is not the one I played. Oh yeah, it is! Where you're in the bedroom? It is revealed through the same kind of minigames as FNAF 2 that Springtrap was formed from the killer William Afton, or Purple Guy, hiding from the ghosts of his victims in an empty rabbit animatronic suit. With the suit malfunctioning and trapping Afton inside, his spirit seemingly lingers on inside. Oh, okay, so that's terrifying. So we're letting the children, the youth of tomorrow, play this game? We're fucked. We're that the purple Enderman guy who killed the kids and was in the rabbit suit. They're going to play this game and go on to vote for America in the future. Fuck me, dude. Enderman, the purple Enderman. Okay. Five Nights at Freddy's 4. Okay, this is what I wanted to know, because when I played it, I was like, why are we in a child's bedroom? Like, why can I hear crickets? Five Nights at Freddy's 4 is one of the most unique installments to the franchise, taking place within a child's bedroom instead of a norm of a security office within a facility. With the player taking control of the child, it is revealed that the protagonist has an intense fear of the animatronics at Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria, indicating that the title takes place before the events of the first game. The game story chronicles the infamous Bite of 83. In which a child was tragically killed in an accident involving one of the animatronics at the facility. It is revealed that the protagonist of the game is the victim of this event, being relentlessly bullied by his friends and brothers over his irrational fear of the pizzeria's characters. During a birthday party at the location, his head was stuffed into one of the animatronics' mouths, with his tears causing a technical fault that caused the animatronic to bite down, killing the boy. What is wrong with y'all? What is genuinely wrong with you people? What is wrong with you people? This is so disturbing. During a birthday party at the location, his head was stuffed into one of the animatronic mouths, with his tears causing a technical fault that caused the animatronic to bite down, killing the boy. Right. Well, right. That's why they have like humanoid. Ew. Ew. No. No. The game's sister location explained how William Afton was the creator of the animatronics of Five Nights at Freddy's, with his daughter's soul supposedly possessing a smaller animatronic called Circus Baby, which predates the establishment of the Fazbear restaurant chain. During the events of Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria Simulator, the player takes control of William Afton's son, Michael. With the animatronics of the franchise now being seriously dilapidated, so much so that they are now barely functioning and rebuilt scrap versions of their prior selves, it is revealed in the title that Springtrap survived the events of FNAF 3, now known as Scrap Trap. All right, you lost me. So there's a game called Security Breach, I guess, it just came out, reveals that an entire mall has been created under the Freddy Fazbear franchise. Oh, I bet that's so terrifying. I bet it's so, so, so scary. Ew, like an abandoned mall that's dark. With the player controlling a boy named Gregory, who works alongside a new non-hostile Freddy to navigate the maliciously programmed animatronics of the facility. With the game culminating with a revisit to the ruins of the original pizzeria and the reveal of Afton's spirit living on as the even more disfigured burn trap, it's clear that the story of FNAF is not over yet. What was his name? Burn Trap. Burn Trap FNAF. Oh, right. Yeah, 100%. Duh. The most terrifying thing I've ever seen. Right. Yeah, duh. What is wrong with you guys? Oh, and DeviantArt. We've made it to DeviantArt. Okay. Oh, dude. Like, what do you mean children are playing this? I will say this. One of the most interesting concepts for a video game, movie, TV show I've ever heard. Like, one of the most original, scary, like, could have been, if they turned it actually into a horror film, could have been very, very, very scary. Because this is crazy. Why was Josh Hutcherson in it? And also, why does Josh Hutcherson speak Spanish? Need him. Also, why did it get such bad ratings? Why did the FNAF movie flop? The scary elements of the film ultimately fell flat and did not hit audiences the way that they had hoped. They managed to make the animatronics good guys and strip them of all their scary aspects for a large sum of the movie. Do I need to watch the FNAF movie? I need to watch the FNAF movie. Five Nights at Freddy's film flops despite Halloween hype. You're kidding. That's what they look like. Oh, this is like the original. My initial impression of FNAF film falls in line with my take on other movies based on video games turned internet culture icons. In that there are many years too late. They are many years too late to capitalize on a trend. Well, that's the nature of movie making, babe. You have an idea in 2015, comes out in 2023. Okay, that's actually just how it's going to happen. Although Five Nights at Freddy's was announced to be in production by Warner Brothers, the film fell into production limbo, cycled through different writers and directors before finally being released on Friday in theaters and on distributor NBC Universal streaming service Peacock. This has been quite the year for Universal in terms of video game-related films, with both FNAF and the Super Mario Bros. Movie releasing mere months apart. So examining the Five Nights at Freddy's film from a strictly objective angle, not trying to read into any theory, the film is frankly disappointing. The plot of any individual FNAF game is nowhere near involved enough on its own to constitute a film's runtime. So the movie is instead a somewhat faithful recreation of the original game's story, but with some heavy creative liberties taken. Well, that's why it flopped. That you pissed off the game community. You pissed off the like loyal, absolutely soul-involved community that knows all the lore, and you messed it up. That's probably why. All players knew about the original FNAF premise was that you played as a security guard named Mike Schmidt, who was the night shift guard at Freddy Fazbear's Pizza, a Chuck E. Cheese-esque dining establishment for kids. The restaurant's animatronics came to life at night and attempted to kill Mike ostensibly due to a mechanical issue, incorrectly identifying him as an endoskeleton needing to be placed back into its costume. The story remains more or less the same as its film counterpart, but a lot of context is added prior to the start of the titular Five Nights. Here, Mike is a middle-aged security guard suffering from a traumatic past following the abduction of his brother Garrett at a young age and now takes care of his younger sister Abby. But Mike's estranged Aunt Jane feels he is unfit to properly provide for Abby's sister. Don't care. This issue is in combination with the antagonist's motivations being two-dimensional and, like the robots, coming off as laughably cheesy. Reading this lore, there's nothing cheesy about it, bro. There's nothing cheesy about it. There's a point in the movie when Jane hires a group of teenagers to vandalize the establishment and hopes that it'll get Mike fired. Whoa! If there are any positives I can highlight, it's definitely the visuals and production value. Rather than be rendered in CGI, the animatronics were actually electronic puppets produced by the renowned Jim Henson's Creature Shop. No way! This leads to the animatronics themselves coming off as incredibly lifelike, as though they were quite literally brought to life. Overall, I would rate Five Nights at Freddy's a 4 out of 10. The puppeteering work is phenomenal, but I hope Hollywood eventually realizes that not everything has to be adapted into a movie. Correct, it should be a TV show with Pedro Pascal. This is by Owen Keenan from the Daily Targum. Okay, well, that's T. I feel like I need to watch the movie, right? Like, I definitely need to watch the movie. This lore is insane. Who is Gregory? I want to know who created FNAF? Scott Cawthon. I want to know his lore. Oh, there you go. A devout Christian. Cawthon began his career in game development making self-funded Christian adventure games. It always goes back to Christ. All roads lead back to God. Look how far he strayed. Dang. This is insane. Cawthon's first professional game was called Iffermoon. He attended the Art Institute of Houston. Oh, he's a Texan, period. Oh my God, he was born in Bell County, Texas, period. He animated Christian films as well. This is insane. Cawthon's Christian games were generally well-received, but were not financially successful enough to support his wife and two children. He reluctantly stopped making religious games and instead produced cheap computer games and free-to-play mobile titles, which could provide him with a steady source of income. He was bringing in $40 or $50 a month from these games. Crazy. In 2013, Cawthon submitted the family-friendly game Chipper & Sons Lumber Company to Steam Greenlight. It was a resource management title featuring anthropomorphic animals. Chipper & Sons Lumber Company. Is this creepy? Oh, what the heck, bro? Okay. The player character was a beaver. However, players and reviewers such as Jim Sterling ridiculed the game because they thought the characters were unintentionally creepy and resembled scary animatronics. Oh my God, this is the real lore. We're getting to the real lore. One writer later described it as an example of the uncanny valley. Cawthon's financial situation and Chipper and Sons' overwhelming criticism led to him becoming depressed. He thought that he had squandered his life by becoming a game developer and attempted to pursue other professions. Like murder? Like murder? Cawthon underwent a crisis of faith. Holy shit! This is crazy! Either God didn't exist or God hated me. When his life insurance policy got canceled after the company found out that he had expressed suicidal ideation to his doctor, he realized that now even my death had no value. Holy shit! He asked God to use me somehow. With his faith restored, Cawthon took inspiration from Chipper and Sons' reception and decided to make something intentionally scarier. This was the impetus for Five Nights at Freddy's. This is more scary. I just gotta chill. This is more scary than the damn game. He thought that he'd squandered his life. He had a crisis of faith. Either God didn't exist or God hated me. Now even my death has no value. God dang, this is heavy. Okay. So Five Nights at Freddy's. Cawthon submitted FNAF to Steam's Greenlight system in summer 2014. He then submitted it to IndieDB, where it gained popularity, and then submitted it a third time. The game was accepted in 2014. The game was well received by critics and became the subject of numerous popular Let's Play videos on YouTube. A sequel was released later that year. Soon after the release of Five Nights at Freddy's 2, Cawthon removed all information from his personal website and replaced it with an image of the word offline. His website later began to show teaser images promoting FNAF 3. Okay, here we go. In December 2015, I wonder if Cawthon had anything to do with the movie. Like, was he involved in the production? Because he's, like, writing the books. Like, this is his brainchild. And here a movie studio is going to adapt it, and it flopped. Like, I would be so livid. I would be so pissed off. I wonder how involved he was. We'll get to that in a second. In December 2015, Cawthon released teasers for his first novel, Five Nights at Freddy's, The Untold Story, later renamed FNAF, The Silver Eyes. It was released 2015. Okay, here we go. Warner Brothers announced in April 2015 that it had acquired the rights to adapt the film, the series to film. One of the directors stated that they would collaborate with Cawthon to make an insane, terrifying, and weirdly adorable movie. In July 2015, Gil Keenan signed to direct the adaptation and co-write it. In January 2017, Cawthon stated that partially due to problems within the movie industry as a whole, the film was met with several delays and roadblocks, and it was back at square one. But he promised to be involved with the movie from day one this time, and that's something extremely important to him. I want this movie to be something that I'm excited for the fan base to see. On November 20th, 2020, Cawthon made a post on Reddit discussing the several scrapped screenplays for the film, followed by the announcement that the film does have a finished screenplay and will begin filming in spring 2021. However, Blum revealed in September 2021 that the film still had script issues and that Columbus was no longer attached to the project as a director. In October 2022, Emma Tamai was announced to direct the film in addition to co-writing alongside Cawthon and Seth Kudabach. The film released on October 27th, 2023, to negative reviews from critics, but was a box office success, grossing over $296 million. That's crazy. This is crazy, dude. He lives in Texas with his wife and six children. Dang. This is crazy. To go from being a Christian game developer and, like, devout religious follower to making something as fucked up as FNAF. Like, what is that? What is that, dude? Wow. Okay. I think that'll do it for me this time. You guys go register to vote if you are not at headcount.org. You guys, like I said, the moo-moos are here. It's moo-moo week, guys. Go get your moo-moos, please, bro. Please, bro. And if they sell out, do not worry. On the website, that just means it's made to order after that. So you will get it eventually, and we'll update you with emails on when they're shipping out, all that good stuff. My Tabba Squitchies are, of course, going with me into the living room. Love you guys. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Go watch my show, Royal Court. The most recent episode was with Cole Sprouse. Go watch my YouTube videos. I upload once a week. And thank you guys. Seriously. Okay, love you, bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.